He never forsakes. He never prays God. So count on His presence in darkness and dawn.
Only believe,
only believe,
only believe.
All things are possible. Bless you all. While the musicians take their seats, and while you're standing, let's turn to a scripture. We're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 60, which was mentioned in the service on Sunday. We're going to have a little Bible study on that. We're going to do some comparison of words, and we're going to see if the Lord will bless us by bringing out a little something to us this evening that will encourage us in these times. So Isaiah chapter 60. We'll just wait for Peter to get back, and he's got the longest to walk all the way around to his family. So, but we know this scripture. It says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us this evening. We ask you to bless us and to speak to us out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seats. So when you read that, mentioned that scripture on Sunday, I thought, that's interesting. It says, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Now, obviously, language has meanings, and it's hard to translate exactly the meanings of words exactly from one language to another. And then also, language changes over time. And so what a gross thing was in the past may not be the same as what a gross thing is today. So I wondered, why? Why does it say the darkness and gross darkness? Okay? So we're going to do a little study on that, and we'll trust the Lord blesses us today. Amen. Today, or just out of interest, how many know what day it is? It is Wednesday, you're right. It's also Yom Kippur today. So that's the Day of Atonement. That's the day that the high priest would go, the children of Israel would prepare, and the high priest would go and he'd confess the sins and he'd sprinkle the blood and he'd take the blood of the sacrifice and he'd sprinkle it on the goat and he'd let it off into the wilderness. So, and that day would end traditionally by the blowing of a trumpet, of a shofar. So, one of these days, I believe it won't be long, that Day of Atonement is suddenly going to take on a real, more dynamic meaning. At the moment, it's still a ritual that's enacted in faith. You know? But there's nothing wrong with a ritual enacted in faith. Brothers and sisters, if you're seeking the Holy Spirit, go through a ritual enacted in faith. Okay? Search your life. Say, Lord, if there's anything, show me. And if there's nothing, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Okay? And what is that? That's knocking on the door. That's a ritual enacted in faith. You don't know if God's going to do it or not. And if he doesn't do it, well, the next time you come to pray, pray that same prayer. Do that ritual enacted in faith. Lord, if there's anything, show me, please. Okay? But won't you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And then one day God will come down and you say, Lord, won't you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And that thing that you've prayed for so long, suddenly, poof, fire comes into it. And it's a whole different reality that you enter into. That's what we're going to see. Okay? And it's the fulfillment of this scripture as well. But we're going to look at gross darkness today. Okay, now, gross darkness. What does gross mean? A lot of it. Big, yeah. Okay? A gross used to be 12. Alright? A gross of something. But also, gross could be corpulent, thick, crude, rude, crass. Crass has the same word as gross. But this word, gross darkness, while it's interesting, and I haven't got these notes particularly well laid out, but I'm trusting the Lord will bless this, because it's not the way we think of gross as in gross, disgusting, horrible darkness. That's not gross darkness. All right? Because you can tell a lot about a word, about a phrase, from the times that it's used in the Bible. And so we're going to go to the first time we see the word translated here as gross darkness, the first time it is in the Bible. Does anyone know where that is? Brother Greg, you seem very confident. Pardon? No, it's actually in Exodus chapter 20. Ah, this is really wonderful, because now we start to see something. All right? Exodus chapter 20 is... Well, it's right after Exodus chapter 19, and we know what Exodus chapter 19 is. It's where the children of Israel go up to the mountain. And they go up to the mountain. Why do they go to the mountain? They go there to meet God face to face and to hear his voice mouth to ear. It's one of the signal moments of the Bible. It's like, here I am. And God says, if you want me to, if you want me to, I will appear to you and I will speak to you like a man talks to another man. I will be your God and you will be my people and I will lead you and I will speak to you personally. Okay? Let's see what happens. All right? So, yes. So let's start at verse 18. But yeah, you're right. That's the first time it appears. Okay. Have you got your tablet there with the... Okay, so... Brother Greg's been clued in. Hopefully the rest of you are following along. Okay. So all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. You see, God said, I'll come down to you, and I will be a real presence. I will make myself known to you, and I'll speak to you, and you can listen to me directly. And they said, that's too much for us to bear. Okay? That is too much for us to bear. And so God said... And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood far off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And so that word, that phrase there, thick darkness, is a translation of the same word that's translated in Isaiah as gross darkness. Okay? And it's really interesting because we can talk about darkness shall cover, the darkness shall cover the earth. And that's a word, koshek. That's the Hebrew word koshek, and it means darkness, obscurity, secret place. But gross darkness is a different word. We've seen it in two places now. And it means, arafel is the word, if I'm pronouncing it right. And it means cloud, heavy or dark cloud, darkness, gross darkness, thick darkness, a heavy darkness that can be felt. But it's only used in a few places throughout Scripture. And it's interesting, it says arafel, and it says it's related to another word, which is araf. Okay, and araf means to drop. So it's the idea there's a darkness that descends. Okay? And so here is a darkness that's descended, and God is in the darkness. Okay? And that's very interesting for today. Because gross darkness is covering the people. But what's happening in the middle of this gross darkness is God is descending today in a very real way once again. Okay? And there's going to be two types of people. There's going to be the type of people who see the darkness and shy away and say, let not God speak to us. And there's going to be the type of people who say, let me go into the darkness and I'll speak to God. Okay? So I'm not saying that we have to go out into the world and see the gross and terrible things that we're doing, gross in our sense of the word, and say we have to go in there to find God. But I'm saying something is happening, that God is descending, and this gross darkness is part of God's descent, that we can come in and we can have a relationship with God. And so interesting, that particular phrase is mentioned three times in the Bible. Okay? Here in Exodus, and then it's mentioned in Deuteronomy twice, speaking of this thick darkness. Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses talking. Okay, and he says in verse 9, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and a descending, gross, thick darkness. Those two words there. Okay? And then again, just one chapter on, Deuteronomy 5, 22. And it says, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. Okay, and so you see here that thick darkness is associated with that meeting point of God and man. So if we can see the thick darkness, all right, we can say God has come. And God has come to speak to us. And there are some that can enter in to the thick cloud and speak with God as Moses did. Okay? And you can say, well, that isn't for me. That's just for Moses. That's just for great people. Well, no, it says you've not come to the mount that burned with great thunder, but you've come to the new Jerusalem, to a holy mount, to a different kind of covenant where all can enter in. Because he is our peace, who's broken down every wall a division, and we talked about that one time, where the temple had divisions where the Gentiles couldn't go, and then the place where the regular Jews, just the priests, could go, then the place where only the high priest would go. And he said he's broken down every partition so that we can go in to the holy place and have access. Amen. And so, that doesn't mean there isn't going to be thick darkness, but it does mean that you can go in there. Amen. So, yeah. And we can see the same word is used in another instance of the Lord coming down. Okay? And it's in 1 Kings chapter 8. Oh, and that great moment where finally the temple was built and they dedicated the temple and they brought the instruments of the temple from the tabernacle, the place where the tabernacle was, and they brought it and they brought the ark from where it was in the city of David, and they combined all those things. And what happened when that happened? And it says, and it came to pass, verse 10, and it came to pass, when the priests would come out of the holy place, they put the ark in the holy place for the first time. And there was that union of God in his temple. And they came out. And as they came out, what happened? It says, and when they came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. So the ministers could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said he would dwell in thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And so was it that same cloud that was on the Mount Horeb that he saw? And he said, here is the thick darkness that the Lord dwells in, and the glory of the Lord fills this place. So we can't even minister here. The coming of the Lord associated with a thick darkness. And we are living in the time of a great darkness. But one side of the darkness are the children of God. And the other side of the darkness are the children who are opposed to God. And there's no crossing over. Okay? Each one of them looks at the other sides and can't understand. It's as we see it in the time of Moses. And we can see this in Moses in Exodus chapter 10. So it's the middle of the plagues. And the locusts came and they ate. And Pharaoh, in verse 16, called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God, and against thou. Now forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God, that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty, strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. But there remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness. And this is a different word. This isn't the same word, but there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days, and they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Amen. So I want to think for a moment now. Brothers and sisters, you know, one of the things about having light is you can take light into dark places. And if the darkness isn't thick enough, that light will light you up. Okay? But I was walking in the park by our home 2 days ago. And we live, if you've ever visited us, right by the airport. And the park to the north of us, when the wind is right, is on the downstream, where the flights come in. And so the aeroplanes fly straight over us at night. And it was a beautiful clear night, and you could see miles and miles away, probably 25, 30 miles away, the lights of the aeroplanes as they lined up in the sky on their approach to the airport. You know what I'm talking about. Okay? And as the aeroplanes would go over, you could see, probably Brother David could tell us, how bright are the landing lights on an airplane? Very bright. There you have it from Brother David. They're very bright. You can see them from miles away. But they're there to light up the ground where the aeroplane is landing. Okay? And there's a certain way that you can see it from miles away, but it doesn't affect you. But if you're close enough, then you're actually standing in the light and it casts a shadow for you. You know what I'm talking about. Okay? It's like being on a being out and you can see a fire in the distance, but you can't get warm by it and you can't read a book by it. But if you go right up to it and you by the fire, now you can see it, you can be warm by it, and there's enough light that you can actually, it's useful to you. Okay? And we want to be lights like that. We want to be light shining in the darkness so that people seeing us far off say, hey, there's something different there. And we want to be such lights that when people get close to us, they can actually see, hey, there's a difference here that affects me. Let's live our lives in a way that lights up our surroundings and creates a bright spark everywhere else. But can you imagine being in the land of Egypt and it was so dark they didn't even go out of their houses. And they took that light and they would go outside. And the light, they could see the light, but it wasn't any help for them to see anywhere. And they said, no, I can't go out in this. I don't know what's out there. I don't have any visibility with my lamp. I'm going to stay inside. I'm not going to move because I'm scared. We've never seen darkness. Well, I mean, I'm guessing if we turned all the lights off in here, it would get pretty dark like that. All right, because we're on the inside. But imagine this. Brothers and sisters, imagine if one of the children of Israel went outside, and you've got to use your imagination for this because it can't really happen, and went outside and took a big clump of that darkness and brought it in to their house and said, look, children, look, this is part of the darkness that comes from outside. And here it is. They looked at it and they said, it's light in the house, everywhere in the house, except for that little clump of darkness that you brought in. It's such a thick darkness, you could cut it with a knife and put it on the table, and it's like, wow, that's really black. That would be a foolish thing to do. I think you'd all agree, right? Bringing darkness into light. Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful, because the world is filled with darkness. But your house is blessed of God and is filled with light. You know? But what are you bringing into your house that you've taken from outside of the world? A little clump of darkness, and you bring it in and you put it down. Okay? You put it down by you. And you say, come and look at this darkness that I've taken in from outside. You know, this is an iPad. It's connected to the internet. All right, we are seconds away, if someone was bad enough, from seeing all kinds of horrendous things right here, because this is a portal to another dimension. Okay? Be careful of the darkness that you're bringing into your house. And so, there was a difference. All the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And now, let's turn over a few pages to Exodus chapter 14. And we'll see the darkness that God brought to the situation. So the children of Israel leave, the Egyptians chase them, and God says, stand still, you'll see the salvation of God. Okay, but it didn't happen right away. We have this idea, if we've seen the Moses movie, he holds up his rod and the waters just peel back, just whew. And that's a good representation, but it'd be kind of boring if they filmed it how it actually happened, because the wind blew all night and made the path. And blew all night, made the path, and made it dry. Okay? It's not quite as dramatic. Alright? But here's what happened, because there's one more night with the Egyptians up in the mountain, with their army coming down to kill you. And the sea behind you, and the wind is blowing. And you don't know what's happening. You know Moses has put his rod up and said, stand still, and you'll see the salvation of God. No? Well, verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. You see? So it was it wasn't an instantaneous thing. But let's go back a few verses. In verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave a light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Well, you can guess which one is the them that got the darkness, and which one is the them that got the light. And so when we're living in dark times, when we can see the armies against us, when we can see all these forces and demonic oppression and people attacking people for no reason, then one day we're going to see the angel of the Lord that stood between the darkness and the light and gave darkness to those over here so that they couldn't see exactly who they were meant to be attacking, and gave light to those over here. So that they could see the preparation and the path the Lord was making for deliverance. This is the day we're living in. Day of darkness and gross darkness. But if we can enter in and we can see what's behind the darkness, we'll walk in the light. And that's a wonderful thing. Yes. You know, I was doing a little studying on this, and let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. We've been looking at an Old Testament word. Let's look at a New Testament word in Matthew chapter 16. From verse 1 it says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting him, desired him that he should show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the time. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And so, for all the miracles that he'd done, they were after a personalized, individualized sign, and he said, we're not going to see that. But he said, the sky is red and lowering. And part of the reason I thought of this is, how many people saw the red sky as we were driving to church? You didn't. You drive from the wrong way here. You drive from. So, but I did. Okay, and I thought, red and lowering, lowering, it's lowering, there's clouds coming. And it's the same kind of route as the clouds, the darkness is coming. Alright? I thought that's interesting, because it's the signs of the time that we're looking at. You know, that word, lowering, appears in one other place in the Bible. One other place. And it would be cheating to ask you where, so I'm not going to do that. Especially because Brother Greg doesn't have his iPad ready. But we're going to turn to Mark chapter 10. And this also puts another way, another context to this. Okay? And when he was gone, from verse 17, when he was gone into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus saith unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal. Do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And that word sad is translated lowering. Okay? And so we tend to think, or I thought up into the past, he was sad. Oh, that's really sad. I have to sell everything. Now to follow this. But again, he wasn't sad. Not in the way we would think of sadness. Okay? When he heard that saying, dark clouds crossed his face. Oh, now you've seen that. If you've had little kids, you've seen that. You know, you tell them not to do something. It's like, dark clouds have come my way. I'm glowering and lowering. Okay? But that's the reaction that he had to hearing, you got to give up everything. It wasn't, oh, that's so sad. It was like, oh, that's thunder and lightning is coming down from above and I am not happy. All right? So his reaction is slightly different to the way I thought it was before. But the question is, when you see the signs of the time, and the dark clouds descending, you have a choice. How are you going to let the word of God affect you? Are you going to let the dark clouds cross your face? Now darkness has come upon you. And you're not entering in, you're saying, that's a dark place. I don't want to go there. In fact, I'm going to go away from over here. Okay? I'm grieved. Because I want to have it all. I don't want to give up my possessions. I want to follow the commandments of God. I'm doing that. I lack something. I don't know what it is. But it's sure not worth giving up those possessions for. That's a dark place that I don't want to go to. And he left the other way, even though Jesus loved him and told him the words of truth. And Jesus loves us. And he's telling us the words of truth. And at some point, it's going to get to your life where he's going to tell you something that says, that looks to be a very dark place. And you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to follow the word of God into this dark place, trusting that beyond the darkness is the light of God? Or am I going to look at that dark place and say, let the darkness affect me and say, that's too much for me to give up. That's too dark a place for me to go. Amen. Because it's a descending darkness. It's a darkness that comes down from heaven. And so here we are in this world. All right. Now it appears in a couple of other places in Scripture. Okay. Brother Don, you like this? 2 Samuel 22. from verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that David, the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And this was significant enough that God wrote it twice in the Bible. Okay? Just like the temple when Solomon, that's written twice in the Bible. Just like talking about the mount and the darkness on the mount, that's written three times in the Bible. Okay? So there's these repetitions saying this darkness is associated with the coming of God. Okay? And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death come past me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell come past me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I cried upon the Lord, and I cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple. Heavenly temple here, okay? The true temple. And my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. Oh my, why was he wroth? Because someone was picking on his kid. Like, you've taken it a bit too far. Okay? Luke is playing flag football at the moment. And it's kind of fun, you know. Watching him play and seeing the kids all dive on each other, and you know, it's like, okay, that's good, but I'm watching him, all right, because I know if he gets an owie here or an owie there, you know, that's good for his character. Okay, if he gets banged about and he has to he has to get up and run it off because it hurts a little, I'm okay with that. But if someone actually starts picking on him and deliberately hurting him and kicking him while he's down, like, I'm getting involved, you see? I'm getting involved. So here's God, and he's like, I know what you're going through, and I'm watching, okay? And yeah, you're having trouble at work, but really, that's good for you. That's just a little owie. It's good for your character. Just run it off. Run it off, Brother Alfred. It's good for you, okay? But if someone really starts picking on you, and you're like, Dad, help! It's like, whoa, that's too much. I'm coming down now. Okay? So this is what God is doing. He was wroth. Why? Someone was picking on his kid. He did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry entered into his. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And that word darkness is the same word as the gross darkness that's going to cover the people. It's the same word as the thick darkness that was on the mountain. It's the same word that Solomon said, God said he will dwell in thick darkness, but he's come down to be in a house. And he's come down to be in a house today. What house has he chosen? He's chosen the house of you and me to live in thick darkness. Yeah. Oh, I feel like we could just read this whole thing. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. And he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. You have to go through the darkness to get to the light. Okay? So don't be afraid of the darkness. You know, we talked about those bright lights that the aeroplanes had. Okay? Where do you find the blackest shadows? In the brightest lights. In the brightest, most intense, most directional lights, you'll find the blackest shadows. And the closer you get to the light, the blacker the shadow gets. You know what I'm talking about? Okay? How close are we getting to the light? How black are we expecting the shadows to be? Alright? So, yeah, this is good. I like this anyway. Yeah. Zephaniah 1. Verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, day of trouble and distress, day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the high cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. The day of the Lord is near, and he's coming with thick darkness to execute judgment. Okay? And to deliver his people. Amen. Ezekiel 34. Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search out my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Cloudy and dark day, that word dark day, same word as gross darkness. Okay? So, yes. God is coming. The day of the Lord is near us. And it's coming in gross darkness. And don't be deceived, the gross darkness, you can think of it as gross darkness as like it's an icky darkness. And it is, but that's not what I want to point you towards this evening. This evening I want to say that gross darkness is a darkness scripturally that's associated with the coming of the Lord. On one side of that darkness are the people like the Egyptians that stay on one side and they dwell in darkness, are the people that run away from God. And that stay away from that darkness and build their own temples and build their own idols. But on the other side of that darkness, there's light. And we can enter into that light. We can walk in that light today. Because the gross darkness is a sign of the coming of the Lord. So it's not a sign for worry. It's not a sign for fear. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. And that's the reason why it says the darkness and gross darkness. And I hope that's a blessing to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, that you would open little things in your word to us, Lord, about the darkness, Lord, about the darkness that you bring as you come down to speak to your people, and the voice that we can hear today, and how we can take that in our hearts and in our homes and live in your light, even as all around is darkness. We pray, Lord, that you would make that a reality in our lives. that we wouldn't fear the darkness that comes from you, but we would enter into it to the place where we can see your light. Lord, if I've said anything that's wrong or misunderstood, pray that you'd bring it to your light. For the words that you have spoken, Lord, may they sink into our hearts and bring forth whatever work you've sent them out for. We ask this in your name, and we commit the remainder of the service into your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. All right. Let's have a song while we change the order of the service. Did I teach you that chorus? We'll walk, walk, walk in the light? I think I did. Yeah. We'll walk, walk, walk in the light. We'll walk, walk in the light. We'll walk, walk, walk in the light. Walking in the light of God. Oh, it's a great thing to serve the Lord. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. Serving in the light of God. We'll walk, walk in the light.
To partake of the elements tonight. Servers, would you come up, please? As I was just in prayer tonight, I was just encouraged. Reading Hebrews chapter 2 again. Verses that are so familiar with us, but it's very important. In the challenge of these days, the darkness is all around us, and sometimes it seems like it creeps in pretty close, doesn't it? It bothers us. We don't like it. But I want you to always keep before you, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Lord. And even though I just feel like somebody needs this. Jesus, what he did for us. Coming out of glory, taking on flesh, a body thou hast prepared for me. And I know Brother Branham says these words concerning concerning the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, but I've always felt at the same time it took place in Hebrews chapter 10, a body you prepared for me. He had a choice to take it. So when he was in the garden, you know, the Father said to him, you sure you want to go ahead with this? You know what they're going to do, don't you? Here's a body, you know what it's for, don't you? For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death. Okay, he's destroyed. And he had to come into flesh to do that for you. And to deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage, for verily he took not on himself the nature of angels, supernatural sinless, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham, so he could identify with you. He knows what you're going through. Every one of you tonight, He knows what you're going through. He knows you needed Him. And you need someone with deity, with skin on it, that says, I can identify with what you're going through. I'm here to intercede for you. What a wonderful God. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful, faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself hath suffered, being tested, He is able to comfort you who are being tested. So when we come tonight, oh, we have so much to be thankful for. So much to love Him for. So when we come with reverence in our hearts, and thankfulness, and gratitude, and love, and adoration for Him who is for us. Don't forget that He's for you. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat. My body, and it's broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, that's tonight, right now, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Concentrating on His life. The power of the Holy Spirit, but there's the death for our sakes that took our place. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned. Grace, grace. Derek, would you ask? Blessed on the bread, please.
Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your sacrifice. Thank You that Your body was indeed broken for us. And Lord, as we partake of this bread, it's going to enter into our mouths and down into our stomachs. And Lord, it's going to get broken down into whatever vitamins and minerals and whatever else is in there. And then it will become part of us. And Lord, in a very real sense, we're going to carry this bread around for the rest of our lives if it becomes truly part of us. Father, as we partake tonight, may we consider that as we partake of You, as we eat of Your word, as we drink of Your spirit, that in a very real way as well, it becomes part of us. And we carry it with us for the rest of our lives. Father, and this is what You've done for us, and this is what's symbolized by this. And may we remember it. May you bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Excuse me, but that was just beautiful. It becomes a part of us, and we do carry him around the rest of our lives. Thank you, Lord.
Brother Greg. Amen. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, it's your grace and your mercy that you've extended to us that opened up our eyes and our heart to you. As it is said, no man can come to me unless the Father draw him. And yet all that you draw shall come, and you won't lose a one. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then to the promise that we are to become one with you, and that is a promise in this day. And we're grateful, Lord, for that. And it is a reality that is breaking forth upon us, Father. And Lord, oh Lord, just thinking of how it was that you shed your blood on that day, that incredibly dark day, but on the other side of that darkness was glorious light.
Lord, thank you, Jesus.
For you have overcome death, hell, and the grave. You gave the devil the answer. You've triumphed over all sin. You've triumphed over sickness.
Thank you,
and Lord, thy kingdom cometh. We thank you, Lord, for that. We humbly pray, Lord, that you would bless this wine, which, of course, represents the blood that was shed, but also the spirit that was given. We thank you, Lord, for that oneness, and that is what this symbolizes. We becoming one with thee. To you be the glory. Bless all who partake. We ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Would you come and partake? You know this is still going on, don't you? Communion with him. This just symbolizes what's going on in our soul and our hearts between love affair. And there's something else going on also. Do you realize he's still washing our feet? Every day. Part of that intercessory, lovely nature. One who took part of Abraham's seed so he could understand what we're going through. And that we would come to him and say, Lord, again, how faithful and wonderful and beautiful. It doesn't stop, and we know that. He says, no. Feel? Grace is there. Ladies, there, don't you? Okay. We honor you. So the guys stay here.